Hi there, people out there, somewhere outdoors. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elt.
And, okay, Elt, I actually haven't told you this, but I have something really exciting.
Wait,
So,
wait. Does it have anything to do with the refrigerator-sized box that you were dragging down into the basement today?
Maybe? Okay, so remember a few weeks ago, I sent out that balloon from the window that you let me open? Oh, right. I did it when you were asleep because I knew you wouldn't want me to do it. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I sent out this balloon from the window and I tied a little note to it. And on the note, I said, if you want to be my friend, here's my address.
You gave away the location of our secret basement bunker?
Just to one person.
No. Emily, I feel like you don't understand what a secret basement bunker is.
Well, it's okay because someone answered it, but they're in the refrigerator box. And when he, so it, anyway, oh wait, I'm gonna cut it open.
Why didn't you put air holes in there?
What is that, Emily? What is that?
This is my new friend, and maybe pet. I'm not sure. It depends upon pet. Friend.
Okay.
And he answered my balloon and he knocked on the door and then I blindfolded him and put him in the refrigerator box.
I really felt like all that was unnecessary.
No one's asking you.
It's always necessary. Emily, did you do a background check on him? And did you look into the mental state of someone who would answer a balloon from a stranger?
I figured I would do that once I got to know.
You're the guys who put me in a box and then dragged me downstairs and blindfolded me and didn't cut holes in it.
Is anyone asking you to participate in this conversation right now?
Fine.
Well, look, Emily, why did you bring him down here today?
Okay, well, the reason I brought him down here is because I was looking for someone to watch a movie with me. Because someone wants to stay on the other side of the basement in a hazmat suit and wouldn't want to watch a movie together. So I figured I had to find someone else to watch a movie with me. So we watched the movie and now we're going to talk about it.
Well, just saying the hazmat kind of cuts into my peripheral, so it's hard to share a screen with someone. That's all
I'm
saying.
Well, I'm just saying your hazmat suit cuts into my emotional heart and makes me sad that you're not around. So, yeah.
You know what?
Anyway.
Yeah. So what did you guys watch then?
Well, we watched the Artemis Fowl movie.
Oh,
yeah. Am I allowed to talk again?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, it was a movie.
Yeah, I saw it too, and I'm trying really hard to unsee it.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel. Is that how you feel?
It was the worst movie I wish I'd never seen.
Ooh, that's a very good way of putting it. What's your name, new friend pet?
Hi, I'm Gabe. I kind of am surprised you didn't ask me that before, but it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
This is why Emily's not in charge of security.
I just feel like labels aren't important. Like, I want to get to know who you are, not what some grown-up decided to call you when you were born.
But you labeled him as a pet before you even asked him what his given name was.
Well, but look at him. He's obviously a pet.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Later, you guys can watch cute cat videos together or something. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. But we need to talk about Artemis Fowl, and we need to do something that we've promised our listeners we would do, and we're now really going to fulfill. We're going to rant.
Oh, we're so going to rant.
And we've kind of ranted before, but it's mostly been Elt ranting. But today, this is going to be a trifecta, a triforce, a triumvirate of ranting. All three of us. There's going to be a lot of ranting because this...
Tripod. I got one too.
A tri-rantula.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll do the ratings because that's our shtick. So we can start off somewhere nice. We gave it a 2 for violence, a 0 for language, and 0 for romance. So in terms of, is it a clean movie that your kids can watch? Yes, because the language is totally fine. The romance, there's none. And the violence is there, but it's an action-adventure movie, so it's not really graphic violence, and it's not really gratuitous. And they don't use real guns. There's, like, lasers being shot and or like blasts. So it's violent, but it's not something that would scare or ruin the mental state of a child. The rest of the movie will do that.
Yeah, because it's more just people getting thrown around and stuff. It's like people, it's more like fist fighting, but not even.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever. But there were still plenty of pearls that were being clutched because it was such a terrible, I don't even know what to call it. It was a terrible thing. The entire hour and a half was just terrible.
It was. The only good thing about it was that it was only an hour and a half as opposed to them dragging it out for 2 hours.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that when I saw the length of the film. My first thought was like, yay, it's only an hour and a half. Then I was like, I wonder how much they're going to get in an hour and a half. Is that enough time?
And somehow they got in so much at the same time without really getting in anything.
Yeah, it was still about an hour and 20 minutes too long.
Yeah.
They could have just like cut it after the logos. After they showed all the company logos of who was involved in production, they could have just ended the film there.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the Disney logo.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know much about Artemis Fowl, I'm going to give you a brief background. Artemis Fowl is a book series. There are 7 books. The author's name, I think it's pronounced Ian Colfer. It's Irish. His first name is spelled E-O-I-N, so it really could be anything. His name could be Lucia, and it could be spelled that way. But I love these books. They are clever and they're fun. They're middle grade, so it's in 8 to 12. The later books, you could probably even say young adult, maybe like 8 to 14 or 15 age range. They're fun, and he's smart with them. Things that show up in the first book have implications for later books. And I've been waiting for a movie adaptation of this book for so long, because it's one of those books that I can see pretty clearly in my mind's eye, and I was excited to see what an actual production company would do when they got their hands on it, and how would they create... He creates the world, not just the human world, but also the fairy world, pretty well, so I was very excited to see what would happen. So that's the source material, and then a very basic plot. Artemis Fowl is this criminal mastermind who's 12 years old, and he discovers that fairies are real and exploits them, and eventually teams up with them. Again, there are 7 books. That's a very basic idea, and basically that's all that they got for the movies, too.
It was more of an inspired by a book that happened than an actual based on. And I only read the first book from this, but I do remember after the first book thinking like, wow, that's a really smart kid. Like, great setup there, great everything. And I'm also usually a little bit more forgiving when it comes to adaptations. A lot of people who are sticklers about certain details, I don't care as much. Because for me, the adaptation is not the book anymore. It's just that person's version of the story. But I have no idea what this was. I really don't.
Yeah, I can be forgiving with adaptations if the plot still makes sense. And if it feels like it's true to the spirit of the material from which it's drawn. Like I said, the books are so clever and funny and smart. And this is none of those things.
No, it's terrible. And if you make changes, the changes have to be better, not worse.
Yes. All right, let's start with, first of all, the plot. Or the complete absence.
Well, I read half the first book, so I can speak on this. In the first half of the first book, there's a kid who's very smart.
Yes.
And he has a butler named Butler, mm-hmm. who's really awesome and does karate and kicks and punches and shoots darts and stuff. And he's awesome. And he kidnaps a fairy and holds her ransom for gold. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as I've gotten in the first book. So don't spoil any of the book for me, okay?
Well, all I can say is that there's still more plot in that half than there was in the entirety of the movie. That was coherent, and that is what happens in the first half of the book. But in the movie, they do kidnap a fairy, but we're not really sure why. We're told...
It's also much later. Like, by the time it happens already, you're already so... Like, when is this going to happen? You're already, like, over it almost by the time they get to that part.
Yeah, in the book, the kidnapping is basically the plot. We kidnapped this fairy for this purpose. In the movie, they happen to kidnap a fairy because of a reason that we're not totally sure of.
Something to do with saving his father.
Yes.
But we don't know why. Yeah. What a fairy has to do with that.
We don't know. Also, his father is alive in the movie. In the book, he's missing. His mother is dead in the movie. In the book, she's there. Does Disney just... Oh, it's a Disney movie, so automatically the kid's parents, at least one of them, has to be dead?
Well...
What's that about?
Emily, you're the Disney expert, so why don't you explain it to us?
Well, in Moana, she has both of her parents, and it seems to be a trend in Disney movies that they go back and forth. Because Frozen, the parents die, but again, Moana, she has both of her parents. So, Disney seems to have been breaking the mold on the dead parent thing, but here they are back, for no particular reason, switching which parents. Well, I killed one of them. Yeah.
Maybe the person cast as the mom saw the script and then didn't want to be in it anymore.
That checks out.
She was like, no, I'm out. Yeah, no.
That makes sense. And they couldn't find anyone else because everyone else also read the script. The fact that any of these actors stayed in it. I mean, I know everyone does a bad movie, but you're hoping that your bad movie is like a small independent thing that you do, you know, or you do it with your friends in high school. Okay, fine. So everyone does a bad movie, but Disney? And they had good actors in here. They had big names.
Yeah, or at least that it could be redeemed through the acting, but this film is just not redeemable.
No. The only really good acting I thought was Colin Farrell, and we saw him for about 7 minutes. And then Josh Gad was kind of okay, but his voice was so annoying. I couldn't listen to it. Just sounded like a joke.
I don't like his character. I don't like his character at all. I don't know why he had to narrate as if... Like, who is even speaking to? I don't even know who he was talking to. Someone who, like, had, like, weird Bora Bora huts? Huh?
I think it's supposed to be MI6, but we're not really sure why MI6 is involved.
Yeah.
There's no indication of why that should be happening. Oh, wait. So we were talking about the plot. But again, people...
Well, at the end, there's, like, for some reason that's completely unexplained, they have the press all over them, and, like, there's a whole bunch of people outside Artemis Fowl's mansion. We're going to be jumping around this movie a lot, because it doesn't make any sense, and there's going to be different stuff that doesn't make sense popping up. So, at the end, there's a bunch of... And also at the beginning, there's a bunch of, like, news reporters and whatever gathered around the mansion. We don't know why they're there. It's never explained. Or if it is, it's so insignificantly explained that I have no idea why it happened. So then, for some reason, MI6 is looking into the Fowls, even though we don't know why MI6 knows about the Fowls.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why do they know about the Fowls?
Because he goes missing?
But his dad... The dad, they're like, is he a criminal about the dad? Or is he not a criminal? And we don't even know why that even happens. That's a good... Yeah, we have no idea. But going back to the Josh Gad character, I couldn't stand the whole time. Everything about him, he has the weird, like, lock-picking scene with the beard, and that was just so weird and yucky. And he basically found what they were looking for, which if Artemis was in the house, and if Artemis was such a genius, why couldn't he just find it in the house without having to get any of the fairies or anybody else involved?
Yeah. The thing that they did with all of the characters in the book are very interesting. They have very distinct personalities and distinct skill sets. Again, Artemis Fowl is a criminal mastermind, and he can see anytime something seems to be going wrong in a plan for him. You learn 2 pages later that that's what he wanted to happen all along because he knows human psychology and how people will work. And Holly Short is supposed to be the only woman who has reached her rank in the police. So it's a big deal. And, you know, she's fighting to be recognized as equally important. And Root is just sucking on a cigar all the time and fully sarcastic. And Butler. Oh my goodness. Butler is like the coolest character in the books. You know, he's, like, studied in Israel, and that's the only country that's coming to mind, but he studied for years.
All of them.
All over Asia, and, like, cordon bleu cooking, and he's super cool. And they took all these characters and told us really interesting things about them, but never actually showed us anything interesting about them. So,
none of them did anything interesting either.
Yeah.
Like, they were all just there, and things just, like, happened, and then things stopped happening, and that was the end of the film.
Yeah. One of the coolest scenes, which I really don't want to spoil for my new pet friend, because I really think he's going to finish the book one of these days, happens with Butler, and it has to do with the troll that they send in.
Here, I'll plug my ears.
How long has your pet friend been reading this book? Because it's been out for a while.
Only like 9 months or so.
I think he's gonna have to deal with some spoilers. Emily, you should have done a better security check on someone who would take 9 years. Oh, wait, sorry. Did you say 9 years or 9 months?
Nine months, maybe a year.
Oh, 9 months to read a middle grade book that is so good. Are you sure he knows how to read? Maybe he's just coloring in the lines over there.
Do you know how to read?
Well, my mom read me Harry Potter, so yes.
Oh, I can read it to him. Oh, my goodness. Perfect. Okay, so now I know what we're doing later today. Okay, I won't spoil it. The point is, Butler does all this super cool stuff, and instead of...
Does he fly?
Instead of taking on the troll like a cool man, he just gets thrown around by him. There's no indication he does anything cool. Also, his niece is brought in, who's supposed to be his sister, which is one of those things with an adaptation where it's like, fine, is it really a big deal if it's his niece or his sister? It's not, but if it's not a big deal, then just keep it the same.
They probably wanted to be a kid. They were probably looking to cast another kid or something like that.
They were, but his sister is supposed to be young, too. His sister is supposed to be only 16, so they cast 12 instead of 16. It's not a huge deal. And again...
And also, she didn't have any purpose in the movie.
Yeah, she did nothing except bring food that wasn't eaten. Like,
there was no point in her being there. It would have been better if she hadn't been in it at all. Because they also build her up to be like, oh, she has the same training, which, yeah, in the books, they have this same impressive training...
Well, in the movies, they clearly do, too, because they both did nothing.
Oh, no, wait. There was a scene with them in the forest. And I think they hit each other with sticks or something.
Yes, so they can fight each other, but we have no proof that their training is actually useful in the real world.
Yeah. And, well, that's also about casting the kid. So I made a comment about Holly Rood, that they cast a kid for her. Mm-hmm. And I think you were like impressed by that, but it didn't really bother me one way or the other. It's just that, I guess at that point, I was just like, whatever, everything here is just stupid. Like, I don't care that she's a kid. Maybe it just was easier for them to start playing around with the CGI, even though there was so much CGI anyways. I don't know. I'm like, if you can make a man look like a man horse, then why can't you make an adult woman look like a small adult woman? I don't know.
The problem with them casting a young kid for that role is that she didn't then try to act like a 50 to 60 year old adult elf. She walked like a kid. She talked like a kid. She looked at people like she was a kid.
I think they were trying to set up we're friends, aren't we? Yes, we're friends. Even though they didn't like say that, but it's almost like that kind of moment, like, we have friends, and if we have friends, and like something with Disney music sounds behind some line that's said at that point. Yeah. And also, even at the end, like, Artemis gets into a helicopter and flies it away. That's, like, the coolest thing he's done the entire film. Not just because he's leaving, but because he's flying a helicopter. Like, so why do we not know that he could do stuff like this? He's not a very impressive character, and in the book he really is.
Yeah.
I don't know. He tries to tell us he's a criminal mastermind.
That's right. He made sure to spell that out for all of us.
Criminal mastermind is one of those things where if you have to tell people you are one, you're not.
Yeah, we know this from Despicable Me. Yeah, I mean, what?
Yes. That's a title that has to be given to you, and it's given in a, you know, we're afraid of you kind of, like, you don't take that for yourself.
Well, this is my first podcast episode, and I'd say I'm a podcasting mastermind. So I got that going for me.
Case in point.
Yeah, thank you. We rest our case. Thank you.
Also, this is so minor, but he's supposed to be Irish. All of the acting was bad except for Colin Farrell and sort of Josh Gad. And I feel bad saying Judi Dench's acting was bad. It could be just because the
part was bad.
The part was so bad.
Yeah.
You know, because she was also doing one of these gritty voices.
Yeah, what was
which
up
they
with
pointed
that?
Out. They had that one joke where Josh Gad and Judi Dench were talking and they made some comment about how both their voices were horrible.
They did. That was actually the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse it. You guys are still sound horrible. Like,
yeah. But all of the acting was bad and it wasn't even redeemed by getting to listen to Irish accents. I wanted to see a cute 12-year-old kid who was an evil genius with an Irish accent, and I was deprived. And I have been reading these books for a very long time, and I just feel like I've been cheated.
Yeah, all of it. Also, they took away a little bit from his criminal mastermindedness by already bringing in, like, this thing with Holly Root, that she's looking for her father, and then his father tells him, like, oh, just because people say, like, I'm a thief, everything was for a reason, and all that stuff, because they show that in the beginning, from the outset, to try to say, like, everyone misunderstands us, but really what we're doing is a good thing. So anything he does now does not make him a criminal mastermind. Everything you do now is just like, oh, we're like a hidden force for good. It's kind of what you become. So they also like totally undid the whole point of the Artemis Fowl, that everyone thinks he's such an evil genius. You undid that all by already putting him in the good camp. Just because nobody knows he's in the good camp, but so what? Like,
And you don't give him room to grow. In the books, he grows as a person, which is interesting. Character growth. What an interesting concept. But there's no character growth here, because even when they kidnap Holly, and you could say, oh, that's a bad thing, kidnapping, but they're not really super mean to her, and he gives up really quickly, so it's weird. There's no ruthlessness.
Well, that's a good point, because maybe you could explain it to us, because you're apparently the person who knows about friends and stuff. Uh-huh. Especially because you just picked up a new friend. So
yay.
Artemis and Holly all of a sudden, like, magically, even though he kidnaps her, they magically become friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, my relationship with my new pet friend makes more sense than that. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense because they sort of take away any of her agency, because she's kidnapped. And then she's a prisoner, and then we see that she can hypnotize, but the one time that she could hypnotize her jailer, she doesn't?
And so, it's not clear why she doesn't, because he just, like, looks at her and says, do you trust me? And then she's like, yeah, I trust you. I'm teaming up with you. We're going to be a team now for some inexplicable reason that I don't understand.
Yeah.
That is true. And there wasn't even a magic carpet when he said, do you trust me?
Exactly. That's what this movie
And he needed. Didn't show her the world. So.
He did not show her the world.
Also, one of the major, I think, plot point, and I say I think because, again, who knows what's going on in this movie, is they're searching for something called the Aculos. Never explained really what it is. We know that it's a threat to the human and fairy races, but we're not really sure why. And it's in the hands of a villain who we've learned her name, and I'm going to go back on something I think I've mentioned about villains before. I don't usually like villain origin stories. I don't need to know why a villain is bad. I'm perfectly content with a villain being bad. But usually you at least get a villain telling you what their master plan is. Or, once I get this in my hands, I'm going to take over the world. There was wasn't even any of that. Like, we need a little bit of information about who this villain is and why she's doing what she's doing to care. Otherwise, do we really care that this magical thing that we don't know what it does gets into her hands?
The good thing, though, is that even though we had no idea what it was, they made sure to remind us at every possible moment to tell us what they were looking for. That word, I think, probably, I would say maybe 35% of the dialogue is just saying the Aculos. We're looking for the Aculos.
Yeah. I actually turned it into an eating game. Every time they said the word, I ate a piece of candy.
She threw up twice.
And I was eating fun-sized candies.
See, that's why I threatened to do the drinking game, but I didn't actually do it. Because at that point already, it was just too much. Yeah. And I don't understand, like, why? Do you think that we all forget in the hour and a half? The film was only an hour and a half. Do you think we forgot what you're looking for? You think we, like, maybe because it was so bad, they thought we lost interest, so they wanted to keep reminding us. But also, it says, like, only a fairy can use this power, but it doesn't tell us why. It doesn't even tell us why the dad ever got involved. I don't think, like, maybe because it's, like, a generational thing that the fowls always look into magic or something.
Yeah. I think they kind of said that, like, fairy stories are, like, a fowl tradition or something. They pass it down, so that happened.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, but if only one out of three of us can kind of sort of remember, the explanation.
And I could be making it up for all I know.
We don't know if we could trust your pet friend also. So I have yet to see. I have not done any background check on him yet, so I don't.
But look at his eyes though. Can you see from over there? They look trustworthy.
I haven't bitten anyone since I was 7.
And now that you're 8, the progress has been made.
There were also a lot of just inconsistencies. Maybe we've already pointed that out, but there were even more. Like, they do this time freeze thing, right? In Italy, when there's a troll. So the fairies do a time freeze so that they can fix the magic and the humans don't see. And while they start the time freeze, the humans are frozen and the fairies are not. And then they use that same time freeze with Artemis Fowl, but when they use it there, all the humans are not frozen and the fairies are also not frozen. But that was just like 2 scenes later.
Yeah, and the time freeze is essential. That's a lot of, so much of his plan does revolve around the time freeze. Yeah. And also, I wondered after they released the time freeze and all the humans were able to move again and they saw that the entire wedding was trash. Like, did nobody have a question or the girl just ate her gelato and everyone was happy?
They looked confusedly at each other.
Yeah, so how does that solve your issue of them not coming up with, like, superstitious stuff? They should have sent in a cleaning crew.
That would have been much smarter.
Maybe they brainwashed them while the time was frozen.
Maybe. But then they just look around and see the wedding's trashed and then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
People should consult with us. They should just consult with us. That's the answer to all of this.
Well, that's the answer to everything.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it depends on what the consultation is about. Like, hi, should I make friends with this new person who answered my balloon? The answer would be no. You would say yes. That's why I'm in charge of security usually. I don't know how you bypassed it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm in charge of... What am I in charge of?
Yeah, see, exactly. Just telling us why Disney doesn't make sense, even though I think at this point you can't even anymore. They have surpassed your expertise in this film. That's how high it's reached.
They could have taken the book and almost chapter for chapter, just taken the dialogue and even the scene descriptions and made a movie, and it would have been fantastic. Because it's pretty visual, and there's a lot of dialogue in the book, because it's meant for kids, so it's not like you're reading John Steinbeck, where it's more description than dialogue. The story's there. I just don't understand. Adapt, certain things for... you want to update it a little bit, or you have certain casting. There are certain adaptations, changes that make sense. But the story is there, and it's so good, and Artemis Fowl is such an interesting character, and they ruined it, and they made him into such an uninteresting... Like, he doesn't do anything. The story, the movie's named after him, and you couldn't even really call him the main character. In terms of what he does.
Was there a main character?
I don't know.
The end title. The end. That was the main character.
Well, that's basically the entire thing. It was just like, well, either let's get to the end already or this is just all finished because it's so terrible. Yeah, there we go.
It was just bad. I haven't seen a lot of movies that I can just say it's bad, but this is bad. It was a bad adaptation. Even if it wasn't adapted from something, it would be bad. The only thing going for it from our perspective is that it's kid-friendly and it's clean, so you can watch it with the whole family, but don't, because you will traumatize yourself and you will traumatize your children, and the amount that you will spend in therapy will not be worth it, even though this is a free movie and it's streaming.
So oh, that is a benefit. Pay. You don't have to waste money in a theater to see it.
Oh, yes.
If you already have Disney Plus.
Right.
But don't get Disney Plus just for this.
No.
Definitely don't. Yeah.
Definitely not.
Take somebody else's password for this.
No. Don't even sign up for the 30-day free trial if they have one. Save your free trial for when there's something good to watch on.
Yeah, not this. Yeah.
No.
No. Well, we're in agreement on something.
Yeah. And we got in a good rant. Like, we really ranted today.
Hooray! It's a good day if we got to have a rant. And Emily made a pseudo-friend or something.
What did you have fun?
Yeah, I was supposed to be home for dinner a couple days ago.
Oh, don't worry. Our mom makes really good food.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. and it's Wednesday, so it's mashed potato. And gravy and popcorn night.
What?
That's a and Fruity Pebbles.
But the Fruity Pebbles go on the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, because you need a crunch.
Okay, I guess my parents probably aren't looking for me. Probably.
Yeah. You could send them a balloon message.
Are you from a Disney film?
Seems like I'm gonna be soon.
Oh, good. We'll make it like one of the good ones, though.
Street rat, I don't buy that.
Can we keep him?
No. I think we're gonna have to go fight this out off the podcast.
Fine. Don't worry. I won't let her take you away. You're gonna be with me forever and ever.
I definitely don't.
Okay. Could I get a pillow at least? This box is not very comfortable. She hasn't let me out of the box.
That's where you belong, okay? Till I do my security check, that's where you belong.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll get you a pillow and a blanket and... Oh, I'm gonna go get some of my stuffed animals for you, okay? It's gonna be so much fun. Sleepover.
I think I'm gonna go find another basement.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.